Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Chibi and Chill, the anime and Pokemon podcast. And this time, it's a little bit different. I'm pre-recording this one, but by the time you're actually listening to today's episode, I'll actually be wandering my way around Universal Studios Florida. Finally, it's been a year coming. It's been a long, feels like I've waited so long, but it's finally here. And today in the episode, we're not talking Florida though. We're heading all the way across the globe to Osaka, Japan, where Pokemon has literally come alive inside their Universal Studios, Universal Studios Japan. So Pikachu, Charizard, all your favorite ones, including mine, Mimikyu, isn't just on your Switch anymore or on your phone. It's in the theme park. It's on the streets in Osaka, and it's in your snacks and everything. If you can think of anything Pokemon themed, it'll be in Universal Studios Japan. And we're going to go and break all of it down, how this collaboration started, what it's like inside the park, and my own thoughts as a lifelong Pokemon fan, a Pokemon trainer, and what the future of this might hold. We've already seen some tidbits, some rumors, and we've seen already that there is a permanent park coming to Japan as well, which is Kanto Park. We saw that during the Pokemon Direct. So, if you've ever dreamed of catching them all while walking through Universal Japan, buckle up, because today is going to be a long but fun one focused on how you can experience Pokemon in the real world with the thrills and joys and excitement and adrenaline that Universal Studios bring. If you're a fan of theme parks, Pokemon, anime, be sure to subscribe. This episode is part of a weekly series, so new episodes release every single Friday. If you follow me on Instagram and TikTok, brilliant, great. If not, search Chibi Trainer and you'll find new content every single day on both channels, both areas, both profiles. Find me over there and you'll have a load to dive into while you wait for the next episode to release. But let's go into some of the background and build up of how this kind of came about. We obviously know Japan is the center for Pokemon and Pokemon's really well known, but how did it start with Universal? So this came to be all the way back in 2021. Pokemon and Universal announced a collaboration that was perfectly timed for Pokemon's 25th anniversary, which was massive. There were card sets and everything. I'm sure if you're already a Pokemon fan, you'll remember that pretty well. But honestly, it could have been better planned for Universal. Back by then, Pokemon wasn't just another game franchise. It was the most globally recognized Japanese brand. Like, Pikachu is literally more recognizable worldwide than Mickey Mouse, which is actually wild to kind of think about. Like, Mickey Mouse is absolutely iconic, and for Pikachu to be more recognisable than that is an enormous feat. Universal Japan wanted something fresh to rival other mega attractions like Harry Potter World, Super Nintendo World, which funnily enough now they've kind of merged together now, but back then there weren't, and Pokemon made perfect sense. They weren't just looking for something like a little Pokemon Day event or something like that, or a themed popcorn bucket, for example. They wanted something immersive, never-before-seen attractions, and ones that would make people, Pokemon trainers specifically, flock to the theme park, flock to Osaka to come to this Pokemon world, I guess. And here's what made it special. Pokemon Go gave us the AR Pokemon in the real world, but Universal Studios Japan took that idea and basically cranked it up. Instead of looking at your phone, you're standing in a theme park where giant Pokemon are battling in front of you, parades are rolling by with Pikachu confetti, and you can even interact with Pokemon through like the special devices, the food, the events that go on. It's that difference between just being on your screen, whether it be a phone or a Switch, and full on live in-person stuff going on around you within like the Pokemon area that it's kind of deemed in. It's mind-blowing how they kind of go about this. If you've ever been to a theme park, a Universal theme park, you'll kind of know that they go all out with the theming and the scenery, and they do this for Pokemon as well. So let's dive into like the experience at the park. So let's step into the park together, close your eyes, and just use your imagination. You're walking down the main avenue of Universal Japan, and when suddenly the music kicks in, floats start rolling out, and it's the Pokemon Parade. Right in front of you, giant Pikachu waves at the crowd, followed by Eevee doing its adorable little hops to keep up the pace. Then comes Charizard, roaring with smoke effects and lighting. Behind it, dancers in colourful Pokemon-inspired costumes, tossing confetti, waving. Everyone's dancing. The energy is wild. It's insane. Kids are screaming. Adults are screaming. And honestly, so are you. But the parade isn't just the appetizer. The real spectacle comes with the Pokemon shows. Imagine projection mapping across an arena, across the streets, combined with live actors, giant animatronics, digital Pokemon clashing in front of you. That kind of vibe, like anything you can kind of really think of, these costumes, these battles going off and people waving, there's music, there's dancing. There's everything you can kind of imagine within the Pokemon world going off literally on the streets of Universal Japan. You're seeing Lucario, Gengar, Charizard, and they're all just there for everyone. Oh, there's so much going on. You can take photos, selfies with them, dance with them. There's everything going on, and it doesn't even stop there. With special encounters where you can have the photos with the Pokemon Go, we can even have augmented reality, so you can still have that phone experience, but guests are given some interactive devices that let you battle or catch Pokemon as you explore the park. So while you're munching on like a Pokeball Choro or Pokemon themed drink or burger, you might suddenly get an alert, time to face off with a wild Snorlax hiding near the ride's entrance. There's so much detail that goes into this kind of stuff. And food and merch, obviously, it's one of the biggest kind of attractions, especially for me. I love merch and I love themed food. So these are huge within the theme parks anyway, especially the Universal ones. Think like Horror Nights and how they have so much themed food for Horror Nights specifically. It's the same, but for Pokemon. So like a Pikachu popcorn bucket, limited edition plushies wearing Universal Japan outfits, themed drinks, themed food. It's everything you can think of to truly have that immersive experience. And here is the kicker. It's all exclusive. So you can't get this in Florida. You can't get it in Hollywood or Singapore. These runs are limited and seasonal, so it's not something that you can go to year round. And that's something that builds that kind of anticipation for the event as well. It makes it super kind of exclusive. It's very Japanese in the best way. If you're a merch collector or a Pokemon trainer, you best believe that your suitcase will be stuffed by the time you get home. And I can kind of vouch for this. I've not been to USJ, but I've been to Universal Florida. And obviously, at the time of listening to this, like I said, I'm on my holiday over there as well. So it's kind of the amount of merch you pick up and the amount of things you try and bring home with you is absolutely wild. It is absolutely wild. It is so exciting to kind of bring home the pockets of mementos and memories through a physical kind of sense. Like I brought back a load of Horror Nights cups or t-shirts or did I bring some food? I brought some food back. I brought some kind of like American candy and things like that with me back. So it's that kind of thing. I always take like half a suitcase. How little things can I take? How much less clothing can I take to fit in more merch? Because I am a person that absolutely loves merch. I'm not going to lie. But I've been a Pokemon fan since the days of like Red and Blue, Gold and Silver. And the idea of seeing Pikachu in a full-blown parade just hits me right in the feels, if I'm honest. It hits me with that kind of pure nostalgia. And honestly, it's that kind of excites me the most. It's that feeling of being the closest you've ever been to seeing a real Pokemon battle or event or Pokemon in the real world outside of the anime or outside of the games. And I can't help but kind of compare this to other theme park collaborations. So Disney has like Marvel and Star Wars. Universal itself also does now have Nintendo and Harry Potter. But Pokemon might actually kind of outshine those in terms of global love and global appeal. I mean, if you ask anyone, if you ask your parents, your friends, random strangers, they all know Pikachu. They might not know many other Pokemon or any others at all, but they all know the yellow electric mouse Pikachu. Would I travel for this? Absolutely. Absolutely. Universal Japan is on my list. I'm going to be getting married soon, within the next year. I'm getting married, so the full-on honeymoon is going to be in Japan, and we are going to Universal Japan as part of that trip, so I cannot wait. And I can only hope and pray that something Pokemon themed is going off in Universal Japan while we're there. But I'd argue that it stacks up right alongside Nintendo World and the Mario Kart ride. I think all of this kind of theming and event and exclusiveness does stack up against these big other franchises that you can go and visit during your visit to Universal. If you're planning a trip to Osaka, Pokemon is like the cherry on top of an already out of this world and unbeatable park experience. It's if you're already going for a theme park, but you're already a Pokemon fan, then it brings the trip to a whole nother level. But right now, let's talk the future of the park. These have been going on for a little bit, but right now Pokemon at Universal is mostly seasonal and parades, but there are already rumours, big rumours, of a full Pokemon themed land coming by 2028 or so, roughly. So imagine this, you're on a dark ride based on Pokemon Snap, where you're taking pictures of Pokemon in different environments, or maybe a safari style ride where you encounter wild Pokemon in a jungle setting. Even in tracked battles where your wristband works like the power-up bands in Nintendo World, except instead of collecting coins, you're catching Pokemon around the park. And of course, the big question is, will Pokemon expand beyond Osaka? Could we see a Pokemon Universal Orlando or even Singapore, maybe Florida? Nothing's confirmed yet, unfortunately, but we're given the global power of Pokemon. I wouldn't be surprised that they kind of bring this to the other parks. We see the demand that Pokemon has. It has such a huge demand. And I think it's only a matter of time before we start to see Pokemon be brought into the other Universal parks. We kind of seen the same with some anime inspirations coming through with the Fan Fest. We've seen One Piece, we've seen Jujutsu Kaisen, we've seen Chainsaw Man for Horror Nights. It's dripping through, and I think it's a waiting game, I think. But right now, happening for Halloween, is Pokemon's Unstoppable Halloween Party. Now, this, again, is Universal Japan. But it's spooktacular. Well, I'm sorry. It's spooktacular what's happening in Osaka. And it's called the Pokemon Unstoppable Halloween Party. And this is part of Universal Studios Japan Daytime Ha 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 Halloween Party, running right now from September 4th through to November 3rd in 2025. So imagine, again, close your eyes with me. you stroll into Gramercy Park, which for the season becomes a haunted Pokemon rave. DJ Pikachu and DJ Gengar hit the stage dropping remixes that fuse hard rock and dance beats crafted by Deco 27. So joining them are a spooky crew of ghost-type Pokemon, Mimikyu, my fave, Bennett, Mischievous, and newcomers Litwick and Pumpkaboo, all dancing under the colourful lights of the main stage, and there's a parade, there's photo ops, there's everything. The energy is wild, it's insane. But you're not just watching this, it's interactive. You're called to dance, jump, cheer and call, response wave, and decide which track wins the final battle. And the two battle trainers that are like one for Pikachu, one for Gengar, there are two twins named Bun Bun and Ban Ban that add to the drama. They kind of duke it out over whose music wants the crowd wants next, like bass heavy beats or roaring metal, and the final song is chosen by the energy and applause of the audience. It's wild, spontaneous, and I love that it's kind of different every night or every day, I guess. But as for time in the park, runs the party runs multiple times a day. So some current showings look like they're going off at 9:55, 11:35, 2:15, and 3:50. So times may shift, but they kind of always keep that up to date on the Universal Studios app anyway. But of course, I've already mentioned the food and stuff at Universal, and it's the same. There's spooky themed food, like drinks, burgers. There's so much going on, and merch. There's little, not quite as much merch. Maybe it's just not showing online. But if you're there, I'm sure there's lots of merch for you to kind of grab. But there's a lot of spooky themed snacks and collector's items as well to kind of commemorate the event and the seasonal event that's only going to happen once, and they may change it for next year. So whether you're a Black Pokemon veteran or just in for the Halloween hype, this party kind of merges the two together into like the ultimate fan experience for Pokemon and Halloween fans. It's playful, it's adorable, and it's spooky. It's a spooky like party you never actually knew you needed. But let's think, if this has got you all ready to pack your bags, here are some travel tips. Now, the best time to visit Universal Studios Japan is usually during weekdays outside of major Japanese holidays. So avoid Golden Week and the New Year's rush. Those are two of the busiest periods. You'll want to book timed entry passes, especially if you plan to hit Super Nintendo World and the Pokemon shows. Because, like I've already said, they have a global audience, so they'll be crowded out fast. Getting to the park is super easy. You take the JR line from Osaka to Universal City Station, and you'll be right at the gates. It's so easy. And if you're making the trip, I recommend doing it all in one go. Pokemon, Super Nintendo World, and Harry Potter World is so easy to kind of do in one kind of go. That way, you're checking off three mega attractions in a single visit, and not having to kind of come back day after day, especially if the tickets can be expensive, I think, for the park. So, you know, just, you can budget this and do it cleverly for sure. So that has been Pokemon in the real world of Universal Studios Japan, from parades to Pikachu battling with Gengar, in a music battle, DJing, the parades, everything. There's so much going on, the spooky food, the themed Pokemon food. It's truly a dream come true for Pokemon fans. And if you've been, I'd love to hear your stories as well. What Pokemon did you encounter at Universal Studios Japan? What snack did you try as well? I always want to have a look at that. Right now, if you're planning a trip to Japan, do reach out. Like, let me know what your top tips are. And let me know if you want any, like, not particularly advice, but let me know if there's anything you think you, any places you think I think you should go on. Thanks for tuning in to Chibi and Chill, the anime podcast. Again, be sure to subscribe for new weekly episodes. These release every single Friday, so please do check that out. My socials right now, I can only assume at the time of pre-recording this, are filled with Universal Studios stories and posts of Florida. So do check those out. I'm sure it's filled with food. I'm sure it's filled with the parks, the rides, everything. So yeah, check it out. It'll truly fit the theme of today's episode with the Universal theme. Thank you so much for joining. I assume I'm about to go on a ride at the time of signing this off. So thank you so much. I'll see you next week when I'm back home. And thank you. Enjoy the rest of your weeks. Bye-bye.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.